right, everybody. Hey. Welcome to Science Us Live.
We made it to the live show.
I am one of your hosts, Ivan Decker, and with me, as always, is...
me, Peter Carlone.
Peter Carlone. And we have a guest tonight here at the Little Mountain Gallery. We're going to sit
like
for this.
This is
going to get intimate. It's time to learn.
Okay.
We're not joking around anymore, guys.
I need to do a quick 7 years of stand-up because... All people are hearing from my mic is this. Like, I'm constantly touching the mic. And somehow, there's just nothing but confidence coming out of your mouth.
Yep, that's what happens.
You're gonna do the thumb. You got a thumb thing going on?
Holding the cord in the bottom is pretty common, too. Because a lot of times, you do gigs where this little button is broken, and then the cord just falls out the bottom of the mic.
Right at your punchline.
In the middle of a joke. You're like, so anyway, I was walking into it, clunk, and be like, ah, you're fired. Give us our money back. Give us our money back at this corporate gig.
Have you... let's get started. Science Us is a podcast. We don't have to explain.
Science Us is a nonprofit organization where we go to the dog park and we show calculus to cute dogs. And we try to figure out whether or not they understand it. Most of the time they leave unless we put food behind the book.
They are still testing very low.
Yep.
The dog. Okay, let's get serious here. I feel like we... I have now reached the point where people are like, okay.
These guys are for sure.
We're done with you two.
Yep.
We came to learn something fancy.
We did.
That's why for this the live show, we're doing like a guest, a special guest.
Special guest who is going to teach us about?
Black holes.
That's right.
And other things, perhaps.
Yeah, involving space and physics.
We're going to explore space tonight. This will be exactly like Cosmos, the show.
No, it will not at all.
It will not.
It'll be like...
Has anybody watched that show? Okay. I like it, don't get me wrong. I don't understand the conceit of the silver spaceship. Have you seen it?
I've not seen it.
He flies around in a silver spaceship, and then Neil deGrasse Tyson is like, this is a nebula. That's not a good Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That was David Attenborough. You just did David Attenborough.
And then Neil deGrasse Tyson goes, this is a nebula.
That's what I do, like, I guess they're
over
like...
Over 30 years old, this young nebula...
That is every, anything about nature. So they're just doing it about space now. Like, that's what I loved about Planet Earth, is it's literally, like, a shot of some kind of animal, and then David Attenborough will just be like, the whale.
and you settle in, you're like, oh, yes.
And you're like, that's what that is.
I am glad I got high for this episode. I've always wondered when in those things, in like the Planet Earth things, when they film a gazelle just getting torn apart, does the cameraman ever at any point like, I'm going to let it happen? Like, because they need to for the TV. But
yeah.
Do you think there's a little part in their brain that wishes they could?
No, because if they intervene, they'll get torn apart. What kind of cameraman is to be like, hey, get out of here, cheetah. What? Ah!
Just be so... The poor cheetah, or the poor, not the cheetah, the cheetah's doing fine.
Steve Irwin used to always do that, but he'd be like
intervene?
Standing right, no, he would say that he couldn't, but he'd be standing right there, be like pointing at it. Be like, I wish I could do something, but it's just nitrous, why?
They have a poor little wallaby, it's like, just being like, dude, are you able to help, or what,
yeah.
Why are you just watching? This is creepy.
Watching a bird eat a bunch of baby turtles, and they're looking up at him like yeah, we just want to get to the ocean. That's too bad.
Too bad it's the way of things.
It's too bad they're endangered because of humans. But this one human can't help these ones.
Because of science.
That's okay. He's
that
dead.
Was British.
All right.
Because... Okay, let's not go into our Steve Irwin material.
Yeah.
Should we bring up the guest? Should we go to space? Let's get off the planet Earth.
We're going to go to space, guys.
Okay, here we go.
Introduce our guest, Peter.
Okay, his name is Sam Stephen Best, and he is a physicist, and he has a PhD. He's shaking his head. No, he does not. He teaches physics. I met Sam years ago.
I'm going to say this is already the worst introduction.
I was going to do a story.
That has ever happened.
I was gonna do a story.
It's
I was
like, there's never been anything worse.
Let me explain.
First of all, you said his name first. You say it last. You say this person, and then you list facts.
I realize
that. And
then
at the end, you go, the name of the person. And then people clap, and then they walk on.
I realized that, but I had already said Sam, and then I had gone too far. As though approaching a black hole, I had already crossed the event horizon.
Oh.
I got an ooh from the crowd.
There we go. I'm
probably wrong. He nodded yes a bit.
Our guest knows all about those things.
I was trying to do a story. I met Sam.
Oh, okay. You don't want to do the story when he's on stage to have his input?
No. That's not how this works.
Okay.
This is not a two-sided of the story kind of thing.
Oh, great. You don't want anybody fact-checking?
He'll fact-check afterwards.
Anyway, I had a lot of muscles, and...
We met at a boxing gym. I had just beat everyone in the gym. They all lined up to fight me, including the owner who came in for it, and he's like, I'll give it a try. And I was like, you betcha. He's out cold. Sam comes in. He's like, hi, my name's Sam Best. And I was like, you want a piece? And then Sam was like, no, never. You're too good at fighting. However, did you know that I'm very good at physics? And I was like, how good? And he showed me that he was good at it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome our guest. Sam Stephen Best, come on out.
Hey!
Grab the mic there. Yeah, do it. Okay, say hi to the lovely people.
Hello, and thank you, Peter, for the introduction.
I'm guessing that story was completely true.
Tell him how true it was.
I remember bits of it.
No, I think it was through a friend of a friend. We jammed about liking Futurama, and then I tried to say something about space or physics. Like, I tried to drop a fact into the conversation, and then I have a specific memory of you correcting me hard. You never know when you're in a conversation at a party or whatever, and you're just talking your mouth off, and you have no idea when you're actually talking to somebody who knows everything about the subject you just pretended to know.
Yeah, I pretty much know everything there is to know.
Yeah. But...
I remember we were talking about ice skating.
Ice skating?
You had a specific question about ice skating.
What?
And it had...
All I remember was being told I was wrong. What did I get wrong about ice skating?
It was something about friction and moving in circles, and you wanted to know
science
about it for Science World, and I told you a little bit about... ice skating.
Oh, centripetal force. Centripetal motion?
That could have been the one.
Nice. Yeah. Cool story. Angular momentum, an audience member. Ah, stop heckling out there, audience member. Friend of mine.
There will be... Oh, yeah, we forgot to... There's going to be a Q&A later, guys. If you ever think of questions
for... Think of questions.
...each of us, you can ask. You have to ask one to each of us. No, that's
and not. We reserve the right to defer to the science person.
Yeah.
If you ask us a science question.
Yeah. I mean, you can also ask things like, hey, Peter, where'd you get those shoes? Did you ever wear those with a suit on stage?
I did. I did wear them with a suit on stage. Let's get to the nitty-gritty of science us right now. Sam, can you tell us your... this? Oh, I'm already talking, so I have to say it now. I hate what I'm about to say, though. Can you tell us your relationship with science? Like, how did you... That sucked.
This is worse than The View so far.
Damn it. I was hoping to be at least on par.
You're involved with science.
Yeah.
I have a science degree.
Woo!
All right.
One.
More than I have.
However, I do remember at least one professor asked me where I was going to go to grad school at the end of my undergraduate degree.
Uh-huh.
And when I told her... I wasn't. Uh-huh. She looked a bit disappointed.
There you go. So you're obviously...
Okay, so your relationship with science...
You obviously made an impression.
I could have been a contender, but I just didn't want to be.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. And you now teach science, I believe, is what you said to me, what I should have said in the intro.
Yeah, I work at a private education place with
amazing.
For kids with learning disabilities mostly.
Amazing.
So us, it'll be perfect.
Yeah, this will be very similar then.
It'll be great. You'll be well suited to teach Peter and I things.
Should I start recording? Just kidding, there it's recording.
Hey, if you're just tuning in, guys.
If you're just listening, if you just tuned in to the live show.
Peter forgot to start the recording. So,
I think I did.
No, your background is in physics?
I think it is recording.
Yeah, I got a science degree in physics.
Okay. So, we're going to talk about... space.
Why don't we... Yeah, let's...
And we're going to talk about... I think black holes was the thing that we had arranged to talk about. So maybe tell us, I think probably the most obvious question at the beginning, what is a black hole?
No, wait. Okay, you say what you think a black hole is first.
Okay, yeah, this sounds like a fun exercise.
Yeah. This is going to go
swimmingly. I'm going to say what I think a black hole is, then Peter's going to say what he thinks a black hole is.
Perfect.
And then you can be like, you guys are both the stupidest people in the world.
Okay, here we go. You go first.
From my understanding, which is not really a thing, black hole is an area in space.
Potentially already maybe
varying wrong. Sizes. There's different sized black holes. There are, I believe, supermassive black holes, which I learned from a Muse song. They're basically just an area of very high gravity. Everything's very, gets pulled there. People are afraid of it. They're like, what if we get sucked in? And a lot of people think it's like a toilet. Like it's like a vortex. I don't know if there's a vortex involved in a black hole. I do know that people being afraid of black holes is kind of a weird thing because they're like, well, what if we get sucked in to a black hole? It's like this thing with all this gravity. And I'm like, yeah, you know what else is a thing with a lot of gravity? The sun. And it's on fire. So that should be way scarier.
And
you're
like, and we're also a lot closer to it.
Yeah, and I also think that there's like a black hole at the middle of every galaxy. Maybe not all of them.
Every single galaxy. Okay, leave something for me.
All right. Light doesn't escape. That's why it's black.
Right. Black holes, from my understanding, are formed when a star collapses in on itself.
Getting a
little and there's too much gravity. In the area. I have never... No, actually, I have done this often. Started talking about something and realized I knew nothing about it. Yeah. I really thought I knew more about black holes. I'm pretty sure they're formed from a star collapsing, and then it gets all out of hand.
Scientific.
Everything just gets way out of control.
Everything gets a little silly.
And there's an area when you're getting pulled into a black hole because it's the gravity is so intense, it's sucking, the light can't escape, yes, but also time can't escape. Very quiet in the audience because the audience is going, is that a thing? I think it is. I think I'll get backed up. Maybe I'll be torn apart. And so there's that, there's a thing called the Event Horizon that I read about in a book called Event Horizon.
Is that about a ship?
Yeah, that if you pass over it, if you're like right near the black hole, time stops being a thing. You, like time stands still or something. So you wouldn't even know if you'd been sucked into a black hole because you'd just be standing still, potentially, and then dead. I don't even think we could get anywhere near a black hole at all. Even noticeably near it before there's like radiation. There's gotta be stuff zipping past you that you're gonna get cooked by. Like gamma rays.
Well, are we talking like we're just in space by ourselves? Because I think there's bigger problems.
Well, even if you're in a ship. Okay, this is enough of us. This is enough of us. Sam, lay it down. How right were we?
Between the two of you, you got most of it.
All right, that's the Science S podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Definitely stars collapsing is a big part of it.
Oh, yes.
But there's some stipulations on the size of those stars.
Oh.
When the star collapses, it's got to be a certain mass. And that mass has to be about 2 times as big as the sun.
Only two.
Okay. Only two.
So our sun couldn't become a black hole.
Our sun will never become a black hole. That's right.
It's
got a different spot, like a different graveyard to go to. Then the big stars.
What graveyard?
It's got the white dwarf graveyard.
So not every star does that thing where it expands, gets supermassive, and then collapses in on itself? Some of them just like burn out and suck?
No, they all do the first one.
They all get big
and they all collapse because right now in the sun, as you know, there's a lot of radiation that comes out of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
That's what warms us in summer days.
I avoid it. Because it does nothing for me. It doesn't make me tan and sexy.
So should that fuel run out and stop the internal pressure due to radiation, then the star begins to collapse. And it collapses to another state. And the state it finally rests upon depends on how strong the gravity within the star is. So if the gravity is strong enough, because it has been massive enough when it collapses, then it goes past the first stop, which is white dwarf stop, And it gets crushed even smaller due to the gravity, and it becomes a neutron star, which you maybe have heard of.
I've heard of neutron bombs, which I believe is from science fiction and not real.
Probably, I have not heard of neutron bombs.
Okay, that means it
is
not science.
Neutrons really small?
Yeah, but if you put enough of them in a bomb.
I thought neutrons were like in atoms.
So a neutron star.
So a neutron star.
It's
so
just
basically
all neutrons? What
it's basically all neutrons because the electrons have actually been pushed into the protons.
What?
Because of gravity. And you know that a proton is positive, an electron is negative.
So when
and
they
so
jam
when you
together.
Push an electron into a proton, you get a neutron.
They become a neutron. Well, that sounds
whoa!
Like.
Whoa!
But neutrons really don't want to get collapsed, so then they have like extra special pressure once you get only neutrons, and they can resist gravity some more. But if your star is even bigger than that, then it continues to collapse.
So
into
it can actually
black hole.
Collapse neutrons and then becomes a black hole.
Yeah, so when. Black hole research.
I'm just going to say what you said right after you say it so that I seem.
I was maybe a second away from calling you on it, and then you called yourself on it. It was fantastic.
When people were first theorizing about black holes, there was a lot of argument in the black hole community, the scientific community.
The black hole community.
Yeah.
Sounds like a riveting party.
So a lot of famous people did not like the idea of black holes.
Like Ben Affleck.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. But I was thinking Einstein.
Okay. Oh, right, sorry.
Ben famous Affleck. Scientists. Ben not Affleck's like the... Amelia Earhart. Is like, boy, it would be really bad if there was a black hole up here. My airplane. Wait, was she the one that flew planes? Right.
Matt Damon started a change.org about it. He's like, let's tackle this.
So Einstein did not like
the idea. He didn't believe
idea.
In it,
no. Yeah, so a lot of leading physicists and astrophysicists at the time believed that the laws of physics would prevent stars from ever being too big at the time of collapse. So they decided that what must happen is while the star starts to collapse, they radiate out enough of their mass that they never are bigger than twice the size of our sun currently when they reach.
So,
well, that seems kind of crazy to just put like a limit on the size of
stars. So does like if you're hearing about black holes for the first time, like that sounds completely made up.
Super crazy
to me. Like in the not. Now,
I don't know, that neutron explanation won me over.
That was wild. So when did everybody change over? Was there like a year when everybody's like, oh no, there's definitely black holes?
Well, how interested in history are you?
It's become a science history podcast.
I think the audience is still pretty on board. I think we're still good with black holes. Yeah.
There is a guy named Oppenheimer. He's pretty famous for heading up the Manhattan Project.
Yes.
I've heard of him.
He's the one that wrote I am Become Death, Destroyer of Worlds. Isn't he the one?
Shiva.
Who?
I'm Shiva, Destroyer of Worlds.
He called himself Shiva?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
The Hindu god.
Listen, I'm gonna turn the mic off actually and then not interrupt anymore.
So
Thank you, though.
Like in the late 30s, he basically figured out the math to see if black holes can be created. And he decided for sure they can be. But he made a lot of assumptions when he was doing the math. Because back then, they didn't even have like calculators. So if you wanted to do a bunch of calculations to see if black holes will exist, you got to like take a long time. And it
used like a bunch of blackboards?
A lot of blackboards. Like they used to have... Actually, I mean, I don't think we want to... Well, they used to have a lot of women to do calculations, too, back in the day.
Oh, okay. Let's take a brief pause here, and let's just unpack that very
loaded
statement.
Is it because they're really good at it?
Yeah, like, where did that come from?
They were very good at it, definitely.
Yeah. All right, well...
Okay. There ended up being a lot of women who knew a ton about stars, like, way more than a lot of men, because they were the ones doing a lot of data. But, anyways...
Cool.
The point is, they take a long time to do calculations.
Sorry, I didn't mean to sound as surprised when you were like, yeah, a lot of women knew more about stars. And I was like, really?
In the 30s?
The women folk, you say.
Why weren't they burning themselves on cooking? That was my impression of Peter. That
and with that, So, all right, just to get this straight,
I was throwing you right under the bus.
Yeah, you saw a bus coming, you stood in front of it.
Yeah.
Ready to be hit.
And then you were like, I have a note. And I was like, okay. And then I left and you jumped. And you were like, sexism.
Why don't we just blow past this area real quick.
All right.
tell us more about
so,
the star.
So they assumed that the star that was going to create this black hole was not spinning, it was perfectly spherical, and had no electric charge. And so based on this idealized star, which if you've ever taken like physics 11, you deal
I
with a lot
not.
Of idealized situations.
Yeah.
They made their calculations simpler so that they could figure it out, and they decided that a black hole theoretically is possible.
Wow.
And then people said, no, but it's that star's too idealized. Those stars never exist. So for a long time, it was waffling back and forth. And then they were like, experimentalists, find us some black holes so we can tell everyone that, in fact, they do exist. And so the search for black holes began and took a while to find one. They're pretty hard to see.
Right, or not see. Like, you have to see the
Yeah,
nothing.
So you have to look out for nothing. If you see nothing...
Or no, what I mean is, like, you see the star, you see the, like, night sky, and then you see, like, just like a black hole. And then you're like, oh, okay. That's probably a black hole. I'm going to turn the... How do you turn the mic off? Or a switch? Or...
So, what about the black holes in the center of galaxies, and that's what makes them
Oh, yeah, was that
spin.
A thing?
Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah, you brought the real thing. Yeah, there are black holes at the center of most galaxies. They
Whoa!
Yeah.
10 points for Ivan.
I watched an Omnimax movie about
Science World. Okay, wild. Can we just jump to like everybody's most favorite part of black holes at this point? Like, what happens when stuff gets stuck in them? That's what I think we're all here to find out about. Let's say, theoretically, let's physics 11 this with an
idealized
situation. You have a ship just for shits and giggles. We'll call it the USS Enterprise. NCC 1701E, which is my favorite of the series. Because it had a much sleeker design. It was more aerodynamic, which
Why
is important. Let me explain. They knew that the first movie they launched this ship in, they were probably going to crash on a planet again. So they made it more aerodynamic.
Okay.
Let's get back on topic. You're in a ship, let's say Enterprise, and you get too close to a black hole. There's no... Okay, forget the shields and all that crap. Like, what would happen if we, just a ship, you, inside a ship, got too close to a black hole?
So it turns out it depends on the black hole.
What?
And it also really depends on the age of the black hole.
Okay, it's 15 years old. It's just...
Gross! Gross, Peter!
Oh, no! I just realized what I... No! It's not like a... sexual thing. Well, the comedic, Jesus Christ, the comedic bit I was headed towards was like, oh, it's really bratty and it's emo. Oh, boy.
I just want to, what happens when I go inside it?
Okay.
All right.
It is
18. It's a consenting
age. A consenting
age.
Black hole.
Black hole.
Consenting black hole.
If it's 18, it's pretty young in terms of black holes.
All right. My kind of black hole.
I like that we're recording this live and we can hear all the moments that people are turning on us. Like every joke. But we made
it's
some
good.
Women jokes.
It's good.
And then we're making fun of... Okay.
Yeah, well, usually we just have to like decide those... Well, we're in my apartment being like, this is probably where...
And it's just two white males laughing, having a great time. Like, none of this is bad. We can say whatever we want.
All right, so we're in a ship.
A young black hole.
Okay, young but young geologically, hole. like what are we talking about, young?
Well, you said 18 years. 18 years would be young enough that by the time you get... Well, we have got to talk a little bit about black hole anatomy before we get into this.
Okay, so this... For the purposes, this black hole is like well over 18.
It's
years
an
old.
Okay. So
all right, let's talk about
black
it.
Black holes
anime.
That have event horizons, which were touched on,
mm-hmm.
And the idea of the event horizon is as soon as something goes past the event horizon, there's no way it can fight the gravity to get out of the event horizon.
Just mathematically, like there's no thrust in the world that could out here that could do it.
There's a lot.
I'm not setting.
Yeah, mathematically,
this up.
That's exactly right.
It's pretty
yeah.
sexy.
Yeah, there's a famous guy named Schwarzschild that figured that one out.
Cool.
Okay. So basically, that's like the point of no return.
Some really hard math.
Just a cross.
So the event horizon is a point of no return. It's not like an area where time gets all effed up.
Not yet, no.
Oh, okay.
If you're passing through the event horizon, you don't even notice it. You just sail on through. If you're watching someone from far away go to the event horizon, you actually, like, it turns out that time really slows down the stronger gravity gets. And if you get into an event horizon, gravity's like through the roof strong. And these people, you don't ever see them get into the black hole. It takes too long. You just watch forever as they sit on the edge of the black, at the edge of the event horizon.
Okay.
Meanwhile, they just zip right in, get sucked into the middle, and die.
And they get squished.
Yeah. If the black hole is young, where they seem to think that if the black hole is old enough, you actually get very close to the singularity. Another word we haven't talked about, but we will. You get very close to the very center, and you haven't felt much yet. And then all of a sudden, you get like stretched infinitely thin, and you, all of your atoms also get stretched infinitely thin.
It's not even dying thing. You just aren't a thing anymore. You just are no longer.
Yeah, you're
anything.
Like vaporized.
You wouldn't even experience it. It's like less. You're molecularized.
Does that mean?
But you can get pretty close.
Does that mean that we can tell black holes because we see a bunch of stuff stuck around it? Why are you laughing? I thought that was a smart question.
That does seem legit. Is that true?
Yeah, no, so...
this is how actual science scientists discuss it.
That is...
Seems legit.
Einstein said that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I have a feeling... Well, as you're getting closer and closer, though, like, things are slowing down quite a bit. When you get to the horizon, technically, approaching to an infinite of time to slip through.
Okay.
But... No, I don't think they found any black holes by seeing a bunch of stuff stuck around the edges. But that would be cool. I'd like that too.
It would be cool, but it seems to follow with what you said an observer would...
Usually what they find black holes usually by looking for other objects that are spinning around black holes.
Oh.
But what are they spinning around? Ooh, no one knows.
Okay.
Often black holes.
Right.
So they look at often black holes. Now, is it possible to be orbiting a black hole but be outside of the event horizon?
We are currently orbiting the center of the Milky Way, which has the black hole right in the middle.
How old is it?
We're cool.
And we're totally fine. Yeah, we're cool.
Is it one of those young...
At least till we're done the podcast.
Is it one of those young, violent ones, or is it like an older, wise black hole?
I actually don't know how old the Milky Way is.
I'm guessing it's pretty old. It's probably older than 18.
It is old, but...
Well, not 18 years, yeah. But I originally said that like as a jokey thing, because I assumed 18 years was impossible for...
18,
I mean, I guess they have to start
black
somewhere.
Hole years. It's like dog years. There's a new...
Yeah, but in orders of billions.
Yeah,
probably.
So when everything that is orbiting in the Milky Way, so the entire galaxy is like spinning all crazy time, why isn't anything smashing into each other? Is it because it's all just too far apart?
I think
apart?
He's going to say it is.
Yeah, everything's really far apart.
Oh, okay.
That's mostly it, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no problem with spinning around really massive objects. We do that with the sun, and it's not a big problem. And just because if a sun collapses, the gravity only depends on how heavy it is and how far away you are. So if something very heavy collapses into a very small size, the density goes up a lot, but the mass isn't increasing yet.
So it can't.
So its gravitational effects aren't going to change if something just collapses into a black hole, unless it loses mass, which it will lose mass as it collapses. And so, in fact, the gravity will be less strong.
So it would let things go first.
However, if a bunch of stuff gets sucked into that black hole, it can get bigger and bigger. Black holes collide and make bigger black holes. You can imagine if enough stuff falls into the center of a black hole, it will become gravitationally stronger, suck some more things into the black hole, and perhaps in a long time, we might guess planet Earth will maybe get sucked into the middle of the Milky Way. I don't know.
But that's like 1,000 years from now. Like, we have tons of time. Like, we don't have to worry about that. Our grandkids maybe.
Your grandkids.
Yeah.
And health care these days.
This is going to be a really political episode.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Obama.
Yeah, where's my black hole insurance? I'm going to be selling black hole insurance by the door after the show, if anybody wants to.
But he's going to be doing it much louder than the podcast.
Yes.
It was a commercial break joke. Yeah. It didn't go great. So we'll move on.
Everybody remembers.
Yeah, they
now
sort of.
That's a pity laugh.
Oh, it feels so good. That's my laugh.
So we're talking about.
Can we touch on something earlier you said? So they all collapse into neutrons. I was going to say neutrinos, which I believe is Star Trek.
Wrong.
No, okay. That was 2012. No,
neutrinos are a thing, but.
Oh, damn it.
Maybe also in Star Trek.
Okay, so you get a neutron star. You get a whole bunch of, like, and then they just it keeps collapsing in and in and in. Well, so is there an actual physical center to these things? It's not just, like, okay, a weird thing we don't know anything about?
Well, you mentioned the singularity.
This might have been a bit confusing earlier. If something is a neutron star, then it's not going to become a black hole. It's dead as a neutron star. Because it didn't have enough mass at the beginning to collapse into a black hole.
Okay.
If it's heavy enough, it blows through the gravity blows through the pressure from the neutrons. Oh. Basically, what's happening is you're trying to pack neutrons tighter and tighter and tighter, and those neutrons don't want to occupy the same space.
Yeah.
And this is an effect of quantum mechanics, which we're not going to get into because who understands quantum mechanics?
Basically, you can squish a proton and an electron together
and make a neutron.
But you can't squish
two neutrons. They don't squish together as easily.
Not
so,
as easily.
It's like if you had a biscuit and a donut hole, you could jam those into each other and it became a bowling ball. And you can't put two bowling balls together.
So that's what you're saying. Yeah, okay.
Visual learning with Ivan Decker.
The elusive pity clap.
I don't know why it
I
went
believe is what that got.
That was honest. That was not. People were like, thanks for clearing that up, Decker.
Do you ever feel like, because you do a lot of stand-up, do you ever feel like audiences, not specifically with you, but do you ever feel like audiences clap to end a bit? So they're just like,
this
is usually the stand-up's cue. If we clap loud enough, he'll stop talking about it.
No, I think that they were all just very pleased. Like, finally someone explained it using baked goods.
And bowling balls.
I don't understand science.
So the star, it's twice the size of our sun. It collapses down into
twice as massive.
Twice as massive? My bad.
Size
doesn't matter. So it collapses down to...
It's not the size, it's what the sun does with it.
Very true. Not at all a double entendre. It's actually just straight up a statement.
Nope.
So it collapses to the neutron star phase.
Yes.
But it blows past that phase.
It blows right past because the gravity is stronger than the pressure from the neutrons not wanting to be in the same spot.
So then what? Because you just said neutrons don't want to be in the same spot. So now they have no choice.
It collapses and it passes. Based on its mass, it's going to have a certain size of event horizon.
Okay.
And so it passes that spot and then you get this event horizon that nothing ever comes out of.
Oh.
And then inside the black hole is... quite mysterious.
Just old grandfather clocks with like cobwebs and.
But as far as mathematics and physics tells us so far, there is something that's called a singularity, and physicists don't like things like that because the density is infinite, according to mathematics. And in our universe, we tend to believe that things are not infinite very often.
It's just, like, I just feel like, I mean, I don't know very much, but I just feel like our world, our universe, is built on solid principles, solid rules that we're starting to understand. So it must be so frustrating because a black hole is just like, nope, I don't work that way.
Well, in the language of mathematics, because you're like, we need a number for this. And it's like, but it's whatever the highest number is.
We even invented imaginary numbers to help wrap our brains around things, and it still is just like, it's infinite.
It's higher than that.
Yeah.
Think of the highest number. Okay, it's higher.
You're still wrong.
But what number is it? It's higher than whatever you're thinking of.
Yeah.
I hate this math.
The schoolyard game.
I can see how that could be frustrating.
To a physicist.
To a physicist.
And a lay person.
They love that. They love that stuff. But physicists, not.
So a singularity, we still don't know much about it. It's just like something
crazy.
So
we know a couple things, or at least we think we know. People's minds change all the time in science. That's why it's great.
Yeah.
But at this point, it seems like time ceased to exist. So as far, like, we have grown to accept an idea of space-time, which is like a beautiful meshing of both space and time. And you can't have space without time.
Great.
Most of the time.
Lovely stuff.
You get to a singularity, time just goes away. You can't have befores and afters. You just have a bit of space. And that space has a really cool name, so you guys are going to love this. It's called quantum foam.
Quantum foam?
Yeah, quantum foam.
Is the stuff where there is no time.
No time.
Only they could make shoes out of that. How long have I been dancing?
I guarantee you, because I think...
All of the time.
All of the marketing professionals listening to this podcast are definitely going to take quantum foam.
I'm sure there's a mattress called that.
Yeah. Yeah, this mattress is made of quantum foam. Do not lie on it at all.
If you'd like to have the longest sleep in the universe. Yeah.
You'll feel like you'll never get out. Also, you won't. Quantum foam is the stuff.
That's what the singularity is made of?
That's what the singularity is made of. So,
and there's no time. There's no beginning or end. Oh, boy.
What feels so, what shape is it?
I legitimately feel high. And I have no substances in
that's
it.
That's what science is for.
Da, 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 get high.
Is it like a spherical shape? Or
does it have
be
no shape?
The shape of a bed? Does it look like your father? Yeah, like that movie this, Contact?
At this point, shapes are not really a thing they talk too definitely about. They really don't know. They don't know a lot of things about what happens at singularities, but they are very interested for one main reason. Right now, there's a bunch of branches of physics. One of them that's very popular is quantum mechanics, and it deals with very small things.
Right.
Okay, and then you have something called general relativity.
The big stuff.
Which is gravity. And they don't really know how quantum mechanics and gravity work very well together, but they know that singularities have an crazy amount of gravity, and they're very small, and so the laws of quantum gravity must play out in singularities, and so they want to learn more about them, so they can uncover the laws of quantum gravity.
Because it's where those two different sort of schools of thought have to come together.
They must collide. Experimentally, if you could
just like everything else in a singularity.
Singularity. You could find out some more about quantum gravity.
That was a good laugh. She liked it.
But they're hard to see, as we've heard about before.
Right.
There is a theory about things called naked singularities.
Here we go, folks. It's heating up.
Just
out
when
there.
You thought it couldn't get any sexier.
Oh. How old is it?
These would be singularities that don't have an event horizon. And they're postulated. I don't think
so you
anyone
can always,
knows whether they exist or not.
Sorry. So you can always escape them?
Yeah.
Is that what they don't have an event horizon?
If you were in the singularity, I assume you wouldn't be escaped. You'd be mashed
nothing.
Up with the rest of it.
Right.
But isn't a zone where you slip past and then can never escape.
You're so we could send a satellite out and orbit it and take pictures of nothing and
So there's science. Also this idea of primordial black holes.
What's happening to our brains right now?
Which are black holes that may have formed very early on in the universe, when things were just starting out. Like close to after the Big Bang.
So that's not a dying sun.
That is not a dying sun. And the laws of physics were a little bit different then, because the entire universe was packed into a very, very small space.
Right.
And so dying, right
like
now,
my
dying,
apartment.
Dying.
Are we talking 200 square feet?
Yeah.
Most likely.
So dying
what
giant stars right now are the way we think black holes might exist, but back then, very small black holes.
There weren't any stars yet, or there were, but they were...
No, well, there weren't stars.
There weren't stars, but there were black holes before there were stars.
There were, yeah, primordial black holes very early on. And they're just tiny little guys that are very small. And any naked singularity would be very small. It wouldn't be one of these.
But they could then, they could become bigger and bigger and bigger as more stuff got absorbed in
like
them.
That video game where you roll around picking up trash. Beautiful Katamari.
Well,
and you get bigger and bigger and bigger. I'll be quiet.
I suppose, theoretically, if you'd have a tiny black hole that was picking up enough stuff,
yeah,
you could... Yet it big enough that it creates...
Will it get full? Can you fill
yeah,
a black
that's a,
hole?
No, that's a great question. Do black holes get full and then just stop being
These
holes.
Are the mysteries of the singularity. So if we're talking about the singularity, they just... Quantum foam, like tiny, no space at all. It's like a complete mess of understanding. If we're talking about event horizons. When things collide, their event horizons get bigger.
Oh,
definitely.
Yeah, of course, because there's more mass.
There's more mass. It also is linked to entropy, which is another confusing physics word that gets thrown around. So I like to throw it around. Entropy.
What's entropy?
Just
it's
throw it
the
around.
Tendency of things to get crazy.
Well, it's no. I mean, entropy,
that's called party physics, right there.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No, entropy is not the tendency for things to get crazy. It's just the second law of thermodynamics says things will get crazy. Exactly.
That's
so
what I'm talking about.
Entropy is going to always increase, is what the second law of thermodynamics says. And it turns out there's an analogous black hole second law of thermodynamics that says the area of black holes will only increase.
So they always get bigger.
Is that one of the theories of how the universe will end then? Which is just the whole thing is just one big old black hole. And then that's it.
Yeah, so there is...
It's getting heavy in here. It's getting sad
So
now.
There is... I mean, there are theories that... Well, end of the universe feels like a big topic
okay,
to
fine.
Get into. But well, we will. No, so there is a way that it turned out that black holes can have smaller areas. And it was discovered by the same guy who figured out that they would always only get bigger. He's a man we all know and love, Stephen Hawking.
Yeah. Stephen Hawking, Sunnet superstar.
Stephen Hawking.
I wrote a theme song for him just now. It's okay with everybody.
Yeah, basically Stephen Hawking says, all right, the areas of these black holes, event horizons, must get bigger. And then later on he says, oh, maybe they can radiate some stuff. And people are like, no way, nothing comes out of black holes.
Some things are coming
and
out.
And Stephen Hawking then figured out that things do. And so black holes do radiate. And not only do they radiate, they can completely evaporate.
But what?
We're talking like...
So if you leave your black hole out on the porch long enough, you come back out, you're like, I
keep the lid on that thing! Hey, what happened to my black hole? Who left the lid off? Sarah? Sarah, did you put the black hole back in the fridge?
I left it on the windowsill to cool.
Some kids must have taken it. Sarah's like, no, I'm in the den, crunching numbers.
Ah, so perfect.
So, like, out the other end of the black hole, just, like, crap is spewing out. Or is it radiate, like, literally, like, radiation, like...
Like, little, yeah, like radiation. Like, like photons are escaping.
Not rocks.
No.
Not useful stuff we can use.
Photons are useful.
It radiates, like, fundamental particles.
Amazing.
And gravitational waves.
Let's get all sci-fi meet science, okay? Let's get all lost in space. Danger, danger style. Can you go...
Can you... One more example?
Replicator spiders.
Okay, perfect.
That was from the Joey version of Lost in Space. Weird reference. Cool movie.
Was that the spinoff from Friends?
Yes. The first spinoff... People don't know this. The first spinoff from Friends was Lost in Space.
Oh, okay.
That's how he got the ship.
Yeah.
Because he was famous. Anyway, so can you... or is it, okay, not humans maybe because of whatever, we'll get stretched to infinity, but can things go through a black hole and come out at a different end of the universe? Is that a thing? Because we loved that in the 90s in science fiction. We were always putting up shields and then heading into a black hole. So can we?
Yeah, this is a good path to go down.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So for a while... it was thought theoretically possible that the right black hole, you could go into the singularity and the singularity curves space up into its own like little universe, and this universe could detach from the universe that we are currently in.
What? So it's kind of like another universe.
Yeah, the best way to imagine this is if you take our three-dimensional spatial universe and squish it into two dimensions. Okay, then our universe is like you can imagine it as a piece of paper.
If we squish
it. Give it some flexibility. All right?
Great.
Okay, black Einstein's.
For those of you tuning in, I'm doing a visual.
Yeah, this is a helpful visual. Sorry for our listeners.
No, we'll post it on the web. We'll video this and we'll post it later.
I'm not doing that.
Okay.
You can do that.
So, yeah.
There it is. This is the universe.
All right. The universe is Peter's hand.
So, Einstein's theory of general relativity says that gravity is actually the warping of space-time rather than what Newton thought was just a force between things with mass.
What?
So Peter's hand is the universe.
Okay.
And it's being warped by a black hole, and it can warp so much that it creates... its own little pocket universe and detaches. And now, theoretically, that little pod could travel through some...
This thing.
...extra dimensions, okay, that our universe does not exist in. The dimensions between universes, all right? And then it could reattach to a different spot in our universe, and you could pop out over there.
I have a follow-up question. How... kids at home, there's a swear coming up. The fuck did we figure that out? Like, oh, it must be space bending in on itself somehow. Because of, like, I took math. I don't know what equation you'd use. I'm pretty good at finding X. That's all I know.
So, I mean, how much about Einstein's deal.
No, I think I think polish it over.
Okay, so Einstein's got basically some equations that say if you have like this distribution of mass, it's going to warp space to look like this.
Right.
And we found that is like always correct. And so if you put in the correct like mass distribution inputs, it'll spit out the correct space-time warpage outputs.
So if you can unattach that, so theoretically, it turns out
theoretically
somewhere else.
You can attach it somewhere else. No one's saying that like this happens all the time in our universe. This is right. Like theoretically, like the math allows it to happen.
Okay,
but there's no practical way we could take advantage of that because as soon as you get past the event horizon, you're just stretched to
nothing. It turns out there's not a practical way because this theory was invented in a world where that is the only thing that's happening in the universe, and it turns out that if you have an actual black hole, there are other things going into the black hole, and that will shred any chance of this happening.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so it turns out that the only way to
do not laugh. I actually did understand a little bit of what he said.
Yeah. So then you have to get into like wormholes if you want to do like big traveling stuff through the hyperspace.
Are you checking in with me?
Hyperspace.
So hyperspace is a real thing.
Well, hyperspace is like if we were to imagine that our universe is embedded in a higher dimension, that dimension we call hyperspace, just so we can think about these things on a theoretical level, like on an
right.
abstract sort of.
So it exists because it's convenient for the math.
Exactly. Yeah. So, well, it's actually mostly convenient so we can imagine it. We don't only have to use math.
See, I grew up very, very religious. And the stopping point for them, whenever I'd be like, well, what's on the other side of this universe? That's where the youth pastor thought he had me, because he would nod and he'd be like, God. Because that's like if everything inside here is science, so just on the outside, that's where you put your God. But now, it's just another universe or another layer. There it goes. God. It's gone now. You guys are here for the moment.
It's gone for
lost.
You? Yeah. Peter lost his faith?
Yeah. Right here, right now, at 8:57 p.m., lost my faith.
Yeah. So, well, when theoretically this idea of like popping into a black hole and then like a little pod floating through space and then popping back out either somewhere in our universe or in a completely other universe. The multiverse theory, yeah. When these theories first came out, science fiction loved that.
Yeah.
And like
went bonkers.
Went
for that.
Bonkers, yeah.
Love the multiverse. Oh my God. Okay. Well, what else don't we know about black holes? I think we now are experts.
I think we pretty much know everything there is to know. We've really got to the bottom of it here. So pretty much, if I could sum it up.
Oh, yeah. What we do on Science Us at the end of it is we usually try to challenge each other and come up with what our individual conclusions are on our scientific observations.
Well, a lot of times if it's like a scientific development, we will say whether or not we're pro or con.
Yeah.
Like two old
I'm
men
say arguing
that,
on the porch.
Pro black hole? Or
what do you think, black hole, yes or
yeah,
no?
I'm not famous, so I am pro black holes. pretty into the idea.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that we don't know. Mm-hmm. But given the fact that there's a lot of women out there doing sweet math, there's a lot that we do know now, and probably never going to go in one.
Are we still talking about black holes? Got him. Sets me up. Zing! Mikes it in.
Peter with the zing back.
Whammo!
They're really far away.
Yeah.
Most of them.
And, most of them.
Once you get too close, you're definitely going in.
And don't go in the young ones.
Because they're more violent.
That sounds like a gross joke. That's 100% true as far as I know.
It's true.
As far as
Boom!
The black ones go. All right.
Why don't we...
We're going to open it to questions, guys.
Oh, wait. We didn't get my conclusion.
Well, then why did you suggest we move on?
Black holes. Conclusion. I like this newfangled black hole thing. I'm into it. I want to hear more. I'm done.
You're getting on the ground floor?
Yeah.
I do like that the idea that they can have a beginning and an end. Like they can evaporate and they can start from a star. I think that's really cool that they're not constant, because I think that they're always sort of things that people have thought of as being, this is a thing and it's always been a thing and it's always going to be here. And eventually we're all going to be inside.
Yeah, it is important to note, like, if you imagine that a black hole is going to completely evaporate, we're talking on the order of, like, many times more than the length of our universe has been around.
So, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
No black hole could have evaporated yet, as far as I understand.
But eventually.
Eventually.
If nothing went in, and
when
they were just
the universe
radiated.
Has expanded so much, and nothing is coming in, and it is only slowly evaporating. Though as it evaporates more and more, the evaporation process speeds up. So then all of a sudden it's going to be.
Okay.
Like an and explosion. It will make that sound.
You won't hear
space.
It, Peter. You'll be dead.
I'll be around, though.
That sounded...
Me and Sam are going to be there.
That sounded ominous.
Peter will be in jail for statutory rape of a black
hole. I will
hole.
Not. I already... My conclusion was don't go on them. The young ones.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Sure.
Before I get in any more trouble.
All right. We have... one of the beauties of doing a live podcast is we can open the floor to questions. Whew. If anybody here has a question for myself or Peter or Sam... go ahead and ask. We have a question here. Peter's going to walk over so you can
I
say
got a guy in the back.
Maybe if you want to help him out, stand up
yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, say it to the reporter.
Okay. My question was for Peter, but if you guys would rather field the question first, we could do it that way.
Sam.
Sam, sorry. Yep, of course. I was going to ask Sam, but this is open to anyone who thinks that they can answer it. The question was... You mentioned Stephen Hawking came up with this the realization that some black holes could radiate things out, and that was kind of contrary to what you said about the event horizon and getting to that point where you cross that threshold and everything's coming in. So what I didn't understand when you're saying that is like you said that photons could come out of these black holes or it could radiate certain things. Well, I didn't really understand the difference between, you know, like, was this a certain type of black hole that could radiate things out?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I feel like almost everything I said could use some more clarification.
But unlike the two away. Hosts who never slipped up once. I think what he was saying was because, like, with the event horizon, the rule is that nothing can escape that. So how is stuff escaping the event horizon? How do we find that out?
Yeah, it's just... More understanding of black holes has led to new conclusions about black holes. And one of them has been that in all black holes will radiate. And it happens through a process of... This gets super weird. But like virtual photons. So these are particles that appear because they take energy from electromagnetic fields that are around them and just pop into existence for just a short amount of time before annihilating. It gets super weird.
I totally knew about those.
Okay, so it's... Oh, he's going to follow up. This guy's... He's nailing you. He's getting you. Now you got to say it.
So event horizons in general aren't as like definite as what
not
you
as definite as the yeah that was it was a huge deal exactly no it's the opposite is stuff definitely will leave and if you're worried about the second law of thermodynamics at this point because the entropy yeah, it turns out that there's a bunch of entropy in a black hole, a ton of entropy in a black hole, and this is related to the area of the black hole, and so when things radiate out they bring entropy with them, so it turns out that the area of a black hole can go down because it takes some of the entropy out with this radiation. And yeah, essentially they will eventually evaporate if the universe can wait that long.
So there's lots of entropy in a black hole, so it's a good place to have a party. Everybody.
Turns into a party. It always tends towards party.
It's going to get crazy in there.
Okay.
Things are going to get
How's
crazy.
How's that? We're good. We're feeling good about that.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't understand, but...
hey, you know what? Neither do I, and it's my podcast.
I feel like in a way it's like almost the novelty of like physical stuff, the stuff that we are made of cannot get out of a event horizon. We cannot pass that point.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you go into a black hole, you will be ripped into fundamental particles.
Right.
Most of you right now is molecules put together, and the fundamental particles will not be life-giving. You will not be able to feel any sort of life out of just quarks and electrons.
Black holes are so sad now.
We will never.
But I realize it's not a really satisfying answer. But what I can say,
satisfy him.
There is so much to read about this kind of thing, and I really recommend reading more about it because it's super interesting. If you want to understand like really what's going on, you have to get neck deep in physics.
Do you have like a
more neck deep than I am, but by far, like the math of this stuff is for sure beyond my understanding.
Do you have a pastry related clarification?
I feel like we are all on board with pastry related clarification.
Like, say the black hole is a pie.
You can go into the pie.
The event horizon is the oven.
Hey, wait, maybe it works. Maybe it works, though. Because
that's
smelling.
Definitely.
And then you take the pie out of the oven.
You smell it, but nothing else escapes. It's not working.
No, it's not.
I gotta bail. Is there another, anybody else wanting to ask? Okay, can you come closer to them?
Absolutely.
Can you say your name before you say the question?
Hi, I'm Ryan Beal. I have a two-part question.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, I got here late, so maybe you covered this. Number one, how much of the 1979 Disney movie The Black Hole would you consider accurate? And the second part of that question is, can anyone on the stage explain the ending of the 1979 Disney movie The Black Hole?
I've never seen it, so I'm out.
Yeah, I'm tapping out. I haven't seen it.
Okay.
Have you seen it, Peter?
I don't know. Peter for sure has seen it.
No,
he's
I have not.
Let me IMDb. He told me he's seen it.
We can't do a live IMDb. If you're just give us a little synopsis of what happens in the movie.
If you're just tuning in.
There's an end. Oh, I'll come back. Or just shout from there. Okay. Get in the mic.
The ship full of British people.
Okay.
Pull
British
up
people.
And they reach the edge of a black hole, and there is a ship balanced on the edge of the black hole. And they go onto it, and it turns out the scientist on there is quite nefarious. And he has a vicious robot named Maximilian that goes against the kind robot named Vincent. And then the adorable broken version of the same robot, voiced by Slim Pickens. And they go into a variety of adventures, and some of the cast members get turned into robots and then turn back. But at the end of it, there's sort of a 2001-esque ending where the man becomes his robot.
That all sounds pretty accurate.
Okay, thanks.
I'm gonna say it's
thanks,
probably 100% accurate.
I'll add to that and say it was also nominated for 2 Academy Awards.
So there you go. Clearly famous people liked it.
Best effects, best visual effects, best cinematography.
There you go.
Starring Maximilian Schell, Anthony Perkins, we don't need to do that. Here's what I think. Earlier, he said something about electrons being pushed into protons, and those become neutrons. So what's happened at the end is that he's gotten so close to the black hole that he has been fused with his robot, and they have become one and the same.
That's the best explanation.
There we go. I did it.
Nice work.
I bent it.
I was going to do a cop-out of it was all a dream.
That's the second best.
Yeah! The robot had a dream. The first robot dream. Are there any other questions?
We got one.
Oh,
man, you know what? This went really well. Okay, I'll get the
question. It's not over yet.
I know, but I just wanted to comment.
We could still lose him, Peter.
Hi, I'm Mark.
Hello, Mark.
I have a question for Sam about the foam that you were talking about. So say if you got pulled into a black hole and you got like stretched out and like vaporized, but then you got into that foam somehow, would like your whole existence then still be in that? And would you like live it somehow all at the same time as well being destroyed as well as the rest of everything going on? And is it possible that's already happened? And that's sometimes why I know like 3 seconds before a song comes on the radio.
That's my favorite thing. I think he is as high as I feel about after this whole talk.
You will for sure die before you can experience the foam in all its glory.
Somewhere.
No, I think you've died before time stops.
It's not.
You'll be dead already.
Well, I think we also.
It'll be painful. I think too. You'll like. It's
what?
Like your
you didn't
toe,
have to throw that in there. I was riding on it being not painful, so I don't have to be afraid of it.
I mean, throw. Oh yeah, by the way, it'll be the worst pain ever. Good night, everybody. It's gonna happen to all of us eventually. Goodbye.
Time stops while you're feeling all that pain.
Time stops while you're feeling all that pain. Constant pain forever.
I think that
it's an eternity of pain.
I mean, I think that
maybe that's what hell is. If you want to get philosophical again, Peter. Maybe God is the foam, and hell is right before you become the foam, so that people can't become God.
I think that in a sense, the reason you wouldn't experience or even be aware of it is because we are operating. We need time to operate. Like our brains only understand things in as they relate to time moving forward. Like everything has to be very organized for humans to be alive.
Yeah, well then how come if I'm like doing the dishes, it feels like it's been 4 hours?
General relativity? Okay, so we're taping this at the Little Mountain Gallery in Vancouver, British Columbia. It's a very fantastic place. However, the person that runs it has a question, and 50-50 it's going to be, can you guys get out of the theater?
Not at all, and I'm sorry if you edited on this, but there was a gentleman earlier that identified himself as Ryan Beale and asked a question about a movie, and I just wanted to put it on record that was not Ryan Beale. It was some other dude, and I don't really have a question. I just will not sit here and have my good name impugned, if I can use a word, impugned. I learned a lot about black holes. Have no questions. Enjoy the podcast.
All right. I think we have time for one more question.
Oh, boy.
One more question.
One more. I'm going to get a question.
This will be the last question, and then we will let you all.
Could you, this is like a background question, I guess.
His name is Matheson, by the way.
My name is Matheson. Could you explain more about what it means for space-time versus like gravity being a property of mass? Like that sort of Newtonian verse. Like
you're more into general relativity than you want to know more about general relativity.
And see if you can do it in like 30 seconds.
Yeah. And use pastries.
Here we go.
So
30 seconds on the clock.
Einstein decided one day that he was going to go against Newtonian physics. And that was a big deal because Newton was like the bee's knees in physics at the time. And
everybody had a Newton poster.
And he basically envisioned that gravity is due to an actual physical warpage of space and time. And so what he said is that a particle that is not being acted on at all will follow the most direct path through space-time. And that will lead you to the conclusions that we see when people are affected by gravity. You will pass through space and time at a rate that is optimal given the warpage of space-time. And that warpage is created by anything that has mass or energy. And if you read Einstein's earlier papers, you'll know
that Matheson.
He is equal to mc squared, and so energy and mass are the same thing. So anything that has energy or mass is going to warp space and time just a bit. And in our daily lives, we don't really experience what that means because we can describe it very accurately with thanks to Newton and the idea that mass is applied forces. But if you look at very strong instances of gravity, you'll notice that Newton's laws don't hold up. And if you pay close attention to Einstein's theory, you'll notice that it describes perfectly what we observe in the universe. And so this was very important to describing black holes where gravity is very extreme. But it really, like, the big thing is these particles are moving on the shortest path through space and time. And so you will accelerate in order to, because you move through time at different rates if you're moving faster. So if someone is moving really fast relative to me, that I'm going to see them move through time a bit slower. If you're in a stronger gravitational field, you will move slower through time. And this is an effect of the space-time warpage due to all sorts of energy that exists in the universe.
I think we all perfectly understand that.
The cool thing about physics is,
it's like when they put a bagel on one of those conveyor belt toasters. When it gets hot, it's gonna be finished, so it'll come out the other end. But
pastries,
there we go. That's it, right?
I think
there.
We're gonna call that the end of the podcast. Well, obviously, there's so much more.
They are clapping to end it, so
yeah. Big thank you to our guest, Sam. Thank you so much
for coming and
being on the podcast. Thank you to our audience for joining
us.
That's
so cool. That's awesome that you showed up.
So much fun. If you do not listen to the podcast and you want to listen to episodes, scienceus.podomatic.com. It's also on iTunes.
Excellent.
Under Science Us. And if...
Hang on one second.
If everyone could get out of here within 5 minutes, that would be fantastic.
All right, we just got kicked out of the Little Mountain Gallery in...
15.
Okay, we have 15 minutes.
What a nice guy, Ryan Beal.
I just... want to say one more thing.
Okay.
If people do want to learn more about black holes, there's a book by a guy named Kip Thorne, who's a leading researcher in black holes.
Although he doesn't sound like it.
Kip Thorne!
Kip. Yeah, and he's got a book called Black Holes and Time Warps. It's about 500 pages of black hole.
Yeah, beauty. Matheson.
Awesome.
If you read right. more.
It's Kip worth Thorne. Three.
We will tweet about it. Follow us on Twitter at ScienceUsPod. Because Science Us Podcast was too many letters for Twitter. But you can email us at scienceuspodcast@gmail.com. If you guys have questions and you want us to do an episode about your question, we probably will.
Yeah, we need topics.
We love ideas. And we have topics, but we enjoy it when you guys send in your ideas. Thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. We hope that you learned some stuff. Did you guys learn things? Awesome. And we very much enjoyed having you here, so thank you all so much for coming out tonight.
Thank you, guys.
That is it. Good night, everybody.